Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5. In verse 7, the Word of God says, there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The Word is another name in John 1:14 for Christ. And so there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father bears witness, Jesus bears witness, and the Holy Spirit bears witness. And those three are one. Now, that may not make any sense at first to say, how can three be one? To a lot of people, it doesn't. A lot of people do not understand the Trinity, and these three together are called the Trinity. When you hear about the Trinity, young people, what people are talking about is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one. And sometimes we don't understand how they can be one, and there's a lot of different explanations out there how they can be one. One of the more common ones, and you may have heard this already, that the Trinity is like an egg. One of the members is the shell, the other member is the white, and the other member is the yolk. That is completely wrong. That's not even remotely close. One of the worst explanations I have ever heard, albeit a lot of people try to give it. It's a dreadful, miserable, terrible, awful explanation. God is not an egg. The shell is not the same as the yolk. Go ahead and eat the shell. See how much you enjoy it. Don't tell me the three are one with an egg. They are not. Dreadful explanation. It's like this. You have a man who is a doctor. The man is also a husband. In other words, he's a married man. And he's a married man with children. He's one man. Most people will experience him only as a doctor. One person will experience him as a husband. That, of course, is his wife. She does not experience him as a doctor. She does not experience him as a father. She does experience him as a husband. But the doctor and the husband are the same person. Just the way that they interact is different. And then the children will experience that same man as their father. They don't experience him as a doctor. They don't experience him as a husband. They experience him as dad. This is what the Trinity is like. The Father is God in heaven, the planner of the entire plan. So when we are talking about the Father, we are talking about the same person as Christ and the Holy Spirit. It says they are one. But the Father is what we think of as God in heaven on the throne. Christ, on the other hand, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he is the same as the Father. He is the same as the Holy Spirit. It's the same person. But when God took on the form of a man, when he became a human being, took on a human body, even though he was still God, he took on the form of a man, then that was Christ. The Father in the form of a man is Christ. The Holy Spirit in the form of a man is Christ. The three are one person. Different expression. Then the Holy Spirit is God poured on man and living inside of people now ever since the day of Pentecost. And so, God inside of people, it's the same person, it's the same God as the Father and the Son. God who is living inside of people, that expression is the Holy Spirit. And so it's really one person with three expressions. It's not three people that are somehow mystically one. No, it's one person, God, with three expressions. The way that a man can be a doctor and a husband and a dad. Same kind of an idea. When we interact with God, we interact with the Holy Spirit. Because He is God poured out into man. So we interact with the Holy Spirit. So for a few minutes today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Most people don't really talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes they don't really understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God inside of people. In the Old Testament, God didn't live inside of people. God would pour out Himself on people. In other words, He would surround them almost like they were walking in a cloud. You could think of it that way. But He wouldn't go into them. Nowadays, He actually physically lives inside of us. There are scholars who tell us, because people wonder, well, if He's inside of me, where? And people might say something like, in the heart, but that doesn't really say anything. It's very vague, general, abstract concept. In the heart. The heart is the frame of reference. No, scholars tell us, and I for one think they're correct because of what I know regarding biology, is that the Holy Spirit lives in the bones. That the literal physical place inside of your body where He is located is in the bones. Now, whether that's true or not, I can't promise you that's true, but to me that makes sense. In any case, we do know that He lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit in Genesis 1-2 is the Creator. The world that was created by the Holy Spirit. He was the Creator. He's the one that spoke everything into being. He's the one that makes things alive. In Genesis 2-7, it was the Holy Spirit that breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Holy Spirit is the Creator also of the soul, and He's the one who gives life to the soul. The soul then gives life to the body. Your body is alive because of your soul. When your soul departs, the body dies. Sometimes people think that the body dies and then the soul departs. That's not true. Any Christian who's ever worked in a hospital, particularly a place like an emergency room or an intensive care unit, will understand what I'm talking about. The soul leaves the body, and then the body dies. It's because the soul is what's keeping the body alive. So the Holy Spirit is the Creator and the life giver. In John 16:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are not your own. So not only is He inside of you, you are literally His home. And you do not belong to yourself. You belong to Him. You live in a house. And when you go home, and maybe a friend comes home with you, you say to that friend, let's go to my house. And this is correct, because it is you and your family's house. The house is owned by you. The house does not own you. The house did not purchase you. You purchased the house. You don't say, the house owns me. I am my house's. No, this is my house, not I am my house's. And so the Holy Spirit, He owns us. We are His house. Because He owns us, in Ephesians 1:13, He seals us. When we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, that means two things. A seal is a sign of ownership. And then a seal is also exactly what it sounds like. It seals you. And that means that you cannot be unsealed. Because you are sealed by Him, the Holy Spirit cannot lose you. You cannot lose your salvation. Once you are a Christian, you're going to heaven. Therefore, no one who is saved can ever go to hell. It's not even remotely possible. because you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are His possession. He puts His mark on you. He says, this person belongs to me, and no one can undo it because he is God. So the person who is sealed by the Holy Spirit can never lose their salvation. They cannot go to hell. Even if the most terrible things happen in their life, they will still go to heaven. Even if they're completely wicked in their decisions, they may be taken home to heaven early, but they will not go to hell. They might get disciplined, God might kill them early, but when they die, they will go to heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit, because we belong to Him, and because He lives in us, He also helps us. He's not just kind of living inside of us with His feet up, watching television. No, He's extremely active in us, and the first thing He does is helps us with our weaknesses. Every human being has weaknesses. The Holy Spirit helps people with their weaknesses. Every human being makes mistakes. The Holy Spirit helps them with their mistakes. Every human being from time to time will sin. Hopefully not very much, but even if they do, the Holy Spirit helps them with sin, to get them out of sin. And then, sometimes, because we are human, because we don't understand what's going on all the time, because our understanding and our knowledge is very limited, sometimes we don't know how to pray to God regarding the things that are going on in our life. Sometimes things are going on behind our backs, and we don't know about it, but He does. And so He prays for us. I may not even know that I should pray, but the Holy Spirit does know, and He does the praying. In other words, the Holy Spirit praying is a little bit different than my praying. The Holy Spirit praying is God thinking about my situation and making it work out. Well, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. That is to say, because of John 17:17, God's word is truth, He guides us in the word of God. He gives us understanding of the word of God. And then it says He'll show us the things to come. That does not necessarily mean He's going to show us the future. That's not what that's speaking about. When He shows us the things to come, He's showing us the will of God for our life. He's ordering our steps. He's guiding us. And so the things that are God's plan for us, even though those things may yet be future, the Holy Spirit puts us on the correct path and causes us to make the right decisions regarding God's plan for our lives. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, He gives us eternal viewpoint, an eternal frame of reference. So He lets us, through the Word of God, see things the way that God sees them. That's what that's really talking about. God's will and God's understanding. In Ephesians 4:30, the Word of God tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And this is very important. Sometimes people do grieve the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is grieved, and that means exactly what it says, He's saddened. He's made to be sad. He's made to be unhappy. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, we take the risk of what's called quenching Him. In other words, if He is grieved long enough, He'll just stop talking because we're not listening. To grieve the Holy Spirit means that I go against truth. And so anytime the believer goes against truth, that person is grieving the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. It's very important. Anytime that a person goes against truth, that is to say, goes against the Word of God, they are grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. That is very, very unprofitable for us. That can really do us some damage in our lives. In 2 Peter 1:21, the Holy Spirit is the one who gave the Word of God. You ever wonder where the Bible came from? The Bible was written down by people. That's true. But the Bible was not invented by people. It's like somebody telling someone what to write. A boss has a secretary, and the boss tells the secretary what to write down. The secretary doesn't just make it up. No, the boss tells the secretary what to write. That's the way that the Bible was written. There were men of God who were faithful men who knew how to hear from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them the things they should write down. And they wrote them down. When you put all those things together, you get the Bible. So the Holy Spirit was the author of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, the Holy Spirit teaches us wisdom. Wisdom is when I know how to correctly apply the Bible. Use it. How to use it. When to use it. How much of an extent do I enter into or do I do something that the Bible talks about? So wisdom is given by the Holy Spirit, and in wisdom I know what to do or say, how to say it, when to say it or do it, and so on, and the Holy Spirit is the one who shows me that. In John 14:26, the Holy Spirit comforts us, and He teaches us all things, and He brings all things into our remembrance that the Word of God gives us. You ever worry about having a bad memory at the wrong time? The older you get, the more you'll worry about it. Sometimes people do worry about that. They think to themselves, I know this is the Word of God, but I'm afraid I won't remember it when I need it. Sometimes you take a test, you're studying and this topic, and you think to yourself, I don't know if I'm going to remember this on the test, and you worry about it a little bit. Well, the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to our memory. And so when there is something that I need to know from the Word of God, even though I may not remember it immediately, whenever I decide that I want to, when I really do need it, the Holy Spirit will bring it. He teaches me all things. That means in all situations, He gives me the wisdom that I need for every situation. And He's also a comforter to us. That means He's the one who gives us assurance, and He's the one who gives us confidence. He's the one that gives us comfort when we need to be comforted. He's a tremendous help in this regard. Sometimes you're a little bit anxious. Maybe you're going into a difficult situation. Maybe you're going into a test at school that you're not quite confident about. The Holy Spirit gives you comfort. Maybe you enter into a situation in life that you feel like it's bigger than you are. The Holy Spirit gives you comfort. In Romans 9:1, the Holy Spirit witnesses things to us. And this is very important. Sometimes you might be talking to somebody, for example, and you see that what they are telling you is absolutely correct. You don't have proof, but you can just tell. This person is telling me the truth. What they're saying is right. This person is not lying to me. This person is for real. And what they're saying is the truth. But sometimes we get the opposite. And we're talking to somebody, and we just know that this person is not being straightforward with us. We just know that there is something dishonest going on here. We just know that you cannot trust what you're hearing. Well, that's the job of the Holy Spirit in us. He's the one who gives us that. Sometimes we say, I don't know why. I just didn't have the right sense, the right feeling from that. I don't trust it. Well, for a spirit-filled believer, that comes from the Holy Spirit. You may feel paranoid. You may feel wrong, like you're judging. And if you're not judging, and you're only judging if it's all about you, if you're oriented to God, if you're oriented to His Word, and you get that sense, then it's the Holy Spirit that's giving you a witness, either that yes, this is so, or no, it is not so. That doesn't have to be only toward people. It is also toward people. It can be in circumstances. This circumstance is something I need to avoid, or this circumstance is something I should participate in. The Holy Spirit gives you that kind of thinking. The Holy Spirit is incredibly valuable in our lives. Young people, learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult. It's not something that you work up. It's not something that you have to say, okay, now I'm going to hear from the Holy Spirit. It's like this. Your mom and dad say something to you and you hear them. Or, if your mom and dad are quiet, you don't hear them. God says in John chapter 10 that we will know, we will recognize and hear His voice. Sometimes He is speaking, sometimes He is quiet. When He speaks, we'll simply hear Him, just like the way that we would hear a person. We recognize the voice of God. Now, we may say to ourselves, was that God? Was that not God? Was that God? Was that not God? If you're questioning that way, probably it was not God. Or, you don't know how to hear from Him yet. But He said we would know His voice. And so if I don't know that it was God, it was probably not God. It was probably just my imagination. When God speaks to us, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you recognize His voice. You don't have to try to recognize it. You simply do recognize it. Just like you would recognize your mom or dad's voice. Your mom calls you from the kitchen and you are, let's say, in the living room. And you hear your mom's voice, you don't say to yourself, was that dad? No, you know it's your mom's voice. Likewise with your dad. If your dad is calling to you from a different room, you don't say, was that mom? No, you recognize your dad's voice. It's like that with the Holy Spirit. We know His voice because we belong to Him. It's not something that you have to strive. When you hear His voice, you will know it is His voice. If you're not sure, it probably isn't. The last thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit produces love. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life is that it will produce the love of God. Now, this is true regardless of your circumstances. Sometimes people enter into difficult circumstances and say, well, I don't know if this is the love of God. No, God loves you in every circumstance, and everything that happens in your life happens for the purpose, ultimately, of God showing you His love. Because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He is living inside of you. And that love will lead to joy, and it will lead to peace. And it'll lead to a whole bunch of other things in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But primarily, the one you want to focus on is that it will lead you to the love of God. The Holy Spirit is our great source of relationship with God. He is God, and He's the one that builds our relationship to God. So we have a good thing going. We've got God living inside of us. No wonder greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world, because God is living inside of us, and that's the Holy Spirit. You guys understand? All right, that's it for today.